We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/hackitout. Just go to Indeed.com/hackitout right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/hackitout. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Hack It Out Golf Podcast. Myself, Mark Crossell, Lou Stagner, and Greg Chalmers. We are talking pretty swings, golf swings. This is all functional golf swings. I kind of feel like we all know where we are or should be nowadays, but let's talk this one out because I think it's an easy trap to fall into. Lou and Greg, welcome back. Functional swing or pretty swing? Lou, I reckon you've only got a pretty swing, haven't you?
Straight into it. Straight into it with a shot at Lou and about his golf.
Because yeah. What I love about that is it sounds like it's a compliment, but it's totally not. Pretty or functional?
No, it's not.
For the start, Lou was thinking, oh, yeah, pretty swing. Hang on. What's he saying there?
No, I think that... my swing has never been pretty. My swing has, based on what my swing looks like, it's pretty functional. Like I've had instructors tell me in the past, like, I can't believe, like, if I were to stop it right here, I'm going to think you're like a 35 index.
Yeah.
Like you just learned how to play the other day. Like you defy some laws of physics as you reroute coming down. And I'm not sure how you do that, but you do it very effectively. So my swing has been pretty functional to overcome all the other craziness that it does.
That's what great athletes do, Lou.
It's a really good point. I mean, I've said that to so many students. You stop them in a position or you measure something and you think, like, if I put myself there, I'm not hitting it. The fact that you can hit it from there is impressive. Great example of that. And Trackman Maestro, who's not on social anymore, but lots of people listening might remember that name. I don't know if you guys ever... knew Joe Mayo, who's a great golf coach in Vegas.
Sure.
He did a talk once that I was talking at, really interesting talk, where he put Mickelson up on the screen and said basically he's the most talented golf athlete there is on the planet. Meaning, because he stands his club shaft up on the way down quite a lot, he has a lot of wrist extension as he pulls down, Phil does. He's saying basically to play at the level he plays at, you ain't going to find many world-class players who can hit that position and be world-class, which he does, which was an interesting discussion. He was basically saying that the fact that Phil can get there and be as good as he is shows you not how wild he is, which people often know him for, is actually how amazing he is as an athlete. And I thought it was a really clever way of looking at it.
Did Joe use me as example number two?
Well, it's he like did. You're in the top three.
He brought you up in the next slide, but the trouble is everyone walked out then because they thought, what's this joker on about now? This swing's ridiculous.
Exactly.
Greg, are you pretty? I know you're functional.
Very pretty.
You've proved
yes. Thanks so much.
But is your swing pretty? Or I mean, you do have the disadvantage, and I don't mean this to be rude, but it's an interesting sport. You, as a left-hander, looking at swings as a right-hander and as the general public look at swings, left-hander swings, it's hard for our brains. Something like when I was teaching full time, when I get left-handers, I would flip them right-handed on my software to get the look, and then just flip them back and talk in their left and right or their left-handed language. What is your swing? It's pretty, and we know it's functional because you've proven that. You don't that, but is it? Are you happy with how it looks? Not that that means anything.
It doesn't mean anything to me. But yes, there was a period in my career where I was trying to be, you know, pretty or better looking golf swing is the right way to put it.
Yeah.
And I actually hit the ball worse. And then I've just in the last 15 years, I could care less. They give me Jim Furyk all day, basically. I mean, I don't care what it looks like as long as I get in the hole quickly and easily. But it's not a terrible thing to look at. I don't think I'll have to send it out to the masses and see what people tell me here. And
that
I
would
might
be a
be
good
wrong.
Tweet, actually. It would be an interesting tweet. I've seen.
Is this
swing.
A pretty swing?
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm looking at it right now. I went on YouTube real quick, and there's a YouTube channel, and it has just slow motion swings of every tour player you could find. And this is you from it looks like 8 years ago in the Honda Classic.
Yeah,
and your swing
4 million hits, 100 million hits. How many hits is it, guys? Probably
it's got 7,000.
That's all my mum. I reckon that's all mum clicking on that.
It probably is.
All we've got.
But it is. Yeah, I've just seen it as well. I've seen it before, but it's pretty, isn't it? I mean, you put that in a right hander, it would look.
I would
it would look good.
It would look normal, wouldn't it?
I would kill for that swing. It is.
You
a
put
very,
that on a right hander.
It's a beautiful swing.
Great there posture, like it's proper textbook setup stuff, isn't it?
What about the sunglasses he's got on? Those are nice.
And that's some old school trousers anymore. As well. What year was that? 2014. That's
Eight
when
I got the cufflink trousers.
That's when trousers used to be like tents. They were pretty baggy.
They're four baggy.
Pleats. Yeah. Four or three pleats.
They were very baggy.
White belt, the works. Hitting your little draw because you hit a pretty functional draw, don't you? You look like you're aiming up the left quite nice. I don't know where the wind's going on here, but you're aiming up the left.
Definitely.
So yeah, have you ever fallen into the trap of trying to change something just on the way it looks, Greg?
Absolutely. Yeah absolutely. I did that in the late 90s. I was playing really nice golf, really doing it based on just feel-based stuff that my coach worked with, and I fell in love with. And Australians tend to do this too. They really are fascinated with swinging the club really that looks good.
Yeah.
And I definitely changed coaches based on that and went down a rabbit hole for about 8 years there where honestly, you know, the first few years was okay, but the last few wasn't great. And it was all born out of swinging into these positions when reality was I was already moving in some pretty good spots. It was clear and evident that I could move the club how we needed to, and I probably needed a more subtle approach if I was going to change much than trying to build something that was just looked good. So it was a bit of a regret of mine, to be honest, looking back, but it's certainly a trap that you can fall into, and it's not what you want for your game of golf. I played professional golf for 27 years, and I've seen all kinds of different swings. And ultimately it's how you deliver that club.
Yeah.
And you can do it from, particularly the better athlete, you can do it from some pretty wild positions in static, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like they look funky, but, it's how you get it back in there and get back down to the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a bit of a sign of the times, Greg. I mean, we were from an era where we're from the video coaching era. I was a coach.
Remember Faldo?
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone wanted to be Faldo.
Yeah, exactly.
Just beautiful, right?
Exactly. It was almost a shame that it was Faldo who had the who ran with the flame, because if it was actually Sandy Lyle, which it looked like it was going to be for a while, if you remember Sandy Lyle swinging, Lou, can you remember Sandy Lyle swing? I mean, it was very went back really quick, then up really high finish, very. Disjointed in its tempo. It was like almost like, you know, Robotronic-y kind of
hard
stuff.
To swing in suspenders.
He always plays in suspenders. Absolutely. When he plays the Masters.
Well, you call them something else over in the UK, don't you?
Britches, do we call them? Or is that what you
britches,
call
the
them?
Thing, you know, the things, you know, the suspenders.
Yeah, we would call, I know, yeah, over your,
what do you call those
braces,
over there?
Braces.
You call them braces,
I think so, yeah. I think we'd call them braces.
Mark's got a closet full of them, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah. I've got some on under this shirt. I just don't show them. We don't believe in belts in the UK, Lou. But as in,
nice.
I think
I like
if Sandy would have been the one that did what, because they were at the same time, I wonder if it would have been different. And it would have been interesting if Sandy would have... at the era, because the problem we had in those eras is we didn't have measuring devices. We had video.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So if you've got video, mm-hmm. what are you going to work on? You're going to work on two-dimensional images of looking at your database of images, which you're going to see pretty after pretty, and the ones that aren't pretty, you're going to just kind of write them off as outliers. Now in the measuring era, you're just going to look at ball speeds, you're going to look at start directions, you're going to look at spin rates, and the rest of it is just whatever. But it is still interesting to see so many golfers fall foul to functional or pretty, isn't it? I mean, I've got an idea I can give to the listeners. I wonder if you guys have got any ideas. If you've got a student or a mate, you know, who gets down the rabbit hole of just trying to change something because of the way it looks. The main question I used to constantly ask my students and still do now is why. I would just constantly use that word in lessons over and over again. When I make this backswing, they would say, and if you stop the video there, they would say, should I get that there rather than there? So whatever there is, you can have that. It could be a million things for the listener, you know, across the line at the top, laid off at the top, whipped inside on the takeaway, outside on the takeaway, wherever. I would say, why? Like, you know, why do you need to do that? Because right. I've measured you. Your club path is X. That's what we've got to change because that's where the curvature's coming from. It's not lining up with your face. If we change that, what will it do? And they would never be able to answer. So it was always, that's the big question. If you're making a swing change, if you're not asking why, what's this doing, then really you are falling into the trap of just trying to look a certain way. Lou, as someone with the ability to make swing changes at home, you've got a launch monitor in your house, you've got a net. I know you work with a coach now. You had periods of time where you didn't work with a coach and you still practiced at home, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Did you make changes and sometimes think to yourself, why am I doing this? Or was there always a very definite agenda of a delivery number that you were trying to move?
You know, I fell into this trap teaching myself through video many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And so through the very late 90s and early 2000s, around near scratch, and could get the ball down pretty decently, could still have some really ugly rounds, but played okay. And I never really took a lesson, a couple of teachers here and there, but I just kind of hit a ton of balls and figured out how to put the face on the ball. And then the mid-ish 2000s, like I really kind of saw my swing for the first time. And I think I've told this before, and it was shocking. I was like, what?
What was that?
Hell is that? Like, I had in my mind that it was syrupy. It was like Adam Scott. It was just
Fred incredible. Couples.
And it was a train wreck. It was an absolute train wreck. And I started to try to change how it looked.
Right.
And it was a horrible thing to do because I went from just playing golf and not really caring what it looked like. All I cared about was, could I hit the ball in the center of the face and kind of make the ball go where I wanted to caring how it looked. And I started to try to make all these changes, and I became an absolute mess on the golf course. And then, you know, a few years later, my daughter was born and I didn't play that much anymore. And when I kind of came back to the game as she got a little bit older, I was in a bad spot. I was in a very bad spot physically, mentally. Mm-hmm. Like, I considered going back and trying to figure out how to play left-handed again. Like, is there another story?
Come on over, Luke. Pick up? Come on over. It's fun on the dark side. Left-handers.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So it was an ugly time period that lasted for a long time. And it was all because I simply tried to change what it looked like.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, the last thing I'll say is, for the last year, I have not been focused on what it looked like at all. Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
And Mark, you've seen some before and afters.
Yeah.
I've made some massive changes to what it looks like.
You have, yeah.
And I've never worked on what it looked like. So it was a pretty interesting transformation.
It's not like those weight loss photos where you just change camera angle, though. You actually
change camera angle, put some spray tan on.
It's a different look.
Suck my stomach in. Look at that. He's a tour player now.
This is awesome.
It's definitely, I mean, playing golf swing is a problem that I still see is out there. It's definitely something people do. People like to play golf swing. I make golf swing related videos, and some of the comments I get, I think, oh, that's like, that wasn't the point of that video. I better make another one, because they're talking about supination, pronations and the rest of it. And I just think, oh, you're definitely sound like you're stuck in a little bit of a swing black hole. What was interesting when I used to teach and play a little is with all the measuring devices in the world, from video to 3D motion capture to a launch monitor, two launch monitors, is if I had tournaments coming, I wanted to get away from the tech as much as possible in my practice sessions. I wanted my practice sessions to reflect playing. I didn't want to be going into those tournaments loaded with just, you know, fort after swing, fort after swing, fort after swing, fort. Now, there was occasions where I had to, because, you know, it wasn't working, so I needed something to work on to make the ball function, and that's when I would measure. But I remember students used to say, God, if I had all these measuring devices, I'd be on them all day. And I remember saying to them, well, what you start doing is you start getting off them, because even with the measuring devices, you can just start trying to find certain numbers that work on a mat and indoors. And then you get out on a golf course and you realize, well, I've had one opportunity to hit that number today, because there was one fairway where I could literally jump on it like I've been practicing in the studio, for one example. And the other 12 tee shots, I was literally having to run at a functional rate where accuracy became the bigger goal. So it's definitely, You can over measure at the same time, which is almost the same problem as trying to look pretty. Does that make sense?
You know,
even with measuring devices, you can still slightly overcook yourself in the brain, and then you get out on a golf course and you just think, well, I'm just not using any of those forts.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
That I've just used inside.
Yeah, you see those people you play with, Mark and Lou, that I've played with a ton of amateurs, that they're so trapped in their own brain. You can almost hear them thinking.
Yeah.
You know, they're standing over the ball. You see them look down, check their grip. They're checking all these points. And it's like there's no looking at the target and connection to the target at all.
Yeah.
Like, where are we trying to hit this ball? And unfortunately, a lot of the stuff that you do in technique changes or making the swing more functional or more pretty, whatever it is, the goal then is to forget about it and go play the game.
Yeah.
You know, that's the goal. That's the point of doing it all. But yeah, there's definitely got to be a give over at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. Lou, go on, Greg. Lou, sorry.
I gotta jump in one thing here about Greg. So we talking about Greg's swing, and
have you found a fault?
So if you Google Greg Chalmers golf swing, the very first link that comes up, it's a Golf Digest article, and it says, "Watch this tour pro damage his garage door with swing."
my indoor swing. Yeah, I think I showed you guys that one when I swung the brand new driver. It was a Ping driver 430, and my first swing with it, I broke the garage door opener up above me. It was awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's here. It's on video for the world to see. You actually posted it out.
And then people keep telling me, like I said, it cost me $1,000 to fix it. And they said, if you had half a brain, you could have fixed it for $20. And I'm like, I don't have half a brain.
Yeah.
I don't have that gene.
You don't have half a brain, but you do have that money, because you're a tour pro who wins money. So I'll do that way.
I'll just keep the economy going. You know, I've got to do my bit.
Absolutely. Lou, obviously you're a very thoughtful guy with your swing and stats and the rest of it. How free flow are you when you get out there?
Oh, like the wind, baby.
No, come on. What we need to do 1 week is we need to have Lou on. I've said this before, silence, but one of his buddies on that he plays with, so yeah, we can hear the truth.
Yes.
About
this is what it's truly like.
I am. A lot of people think that I'm just out there, you know, vomiting stats at people, and nothing could be further from the truth. When I get out on the golf course, I'm playing golf. I'm not playing golf swing.
Yeah.
And I'm not playing, you know, stat hole either. I'm playing golf, and I'm trying to do all the things I can do to be as effective as I can. And, you know, getting lost in thoughts of position and getting lost in the, you know, the minutia of the stats while I'm out there is – I'm not going to play well if I do that. So I try to avoid all of that as much as I can. And my worst rounds are when I get stuck thinking about a position.
Yeah.
When I get, you know, so for whatever reason, something's a little off in the swing that day, that week, that month, whatever it happens to be. And I start to focus on that, and that becomes a big problem.
Yeah. I think that's common.
And that's when I'm playing really poorly. So yeah, I do my best to avoid all of those thoughts.
And Greg and Lou, this question, I see it still with students. What percentage of students would you say that come to you? Because I know you do. I know you don't work with swing with the people you work with, Lou, but you still have conversations that probably relate back to that. I would still say it's a high percentage of students that I still see that are wanting it to look a certain way. They want it to be prettier, where I'm 100% just trying to get them to function. So I still have battles, like battles that they don't even realize I'm having, to try and persuade them to think differently. Is that fair? Would you see that, Greg, with your students? There's still enough people who are just, I don't like the way this looks, can we change it kind of ideas? Or are they literally
just I would say too. Yeah, to your point there, Mark, I would say early on, and I don't love coaching full swing at all, but when I do it and I try and help people out, I was probably very guilty of position-based advice, and I do not do that anymore.
Yeah.
I very much look at, well, what ball flight are we hitting, and here's probably why you're doing that, and more down what Lou's coach has kind of guided him through, where we're not really – we're changing your movement based on what we're trying to create rather with the ball, rather than – just changing a movement for the sake of it.
Yeah.
And then seeing what happens. So I try to get down more that avenue a little bit as a coach and keep it as simple as possible. That'd be kind of the world. If I wanted to be a full-time swing coach, I'd rather be doing it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lou, do you still see with people you work with a desire for things to look a certain way, or you don't work with the people you work with in that kind of forum, so you don't know?
I don't really work with them in that capacity, but I can tell you I have friends that are 100% like that. You know, I have a friend of mine, former D1 player, and, you know, he hardly plays anymore, and he's, you know, he tees it up 12 times a year, and he's still, you know, plus two. He can go out there and shoot a great number in his sleep. He's such a good player, and he does nothing but constantly think about swing positions and what needs to be different. And he's just down that rabbit hole. And I often wonder, for somebody like him, if that hurts or helps him. I think it hurts him, but he's so good. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
And I have to imagine there's some of your colleagues, Greg, on the PGA Tour that are stuck in positions, and they an incredible amount of talent that, you know, a 10 handicap is going to struggle to pull that off, but they're one of the most talented golfers in the world, and they can pull it off. So I think for most people, it's a bad idea, but some people figure out a way to manage that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say...
Yes, there's definitely...
Go on, Greg.
Sorry, Mark. I was just going to say there's definitely some pros you see. You can just see them really working hard on hitting positions.
Yeah.
But typically, they won't do that for an extended period of time if they don't see the proof in the ball flight. You know, they don't see that makes them hit the ball better. I'd like to think they'd sort of go, well, that ain't working. But yeah, there's definitely, but then there's a lot of guys, like one guy that comes to mind is like a Bill Haas. Like, Bill, what are you working on? Ah, just trying to find a feel. Yeah. You know, like just slapping away, and turns out he moves the club pretty nice, and some weeks he putts well and he wins. You know, like it's, I like that. I'm moving more as I get older, more towards that way of thinking than trying to, you know, reinvent the wheel and hit a position that looks pretty. One thing I wanted to ask you guys, do you have a golfer that you see that you think, and I think most of us have this, you see someone, you're like, oh, I have to watch this shot. This guy's such a beautiful swing. You know, like there's so many pros that I watch and I'm like, but then there's some I'm like, oh, I got to watch, like Adam Scott for me, I've got to watch that guy hit it. You know what I mean? Like it just looks beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Adam's swing looks nice. I've never felt that way with looking at swings personally.
What?
No. I haven't.
Are you kidding me?
No, I don't think I want to look at this swing because of the swing. I would want to, I've always wanted to look at all swings, as in the more I understand each swing, I feel like the better I can be as a coach. So it wasn't that I just wanted to see
coach mode. He slips into coach mode.
Yeah, well, that's because that's how I function in this game, really. It's not, you know, where I come from for the game is different for Lou. Lou's coming from an absolute, you know, lover of golf. I love golf, but it's my job. I'm doing it for a purpose now more. So I'm coming at it always from that way. I was lucky enough to stand with, I'm sure you have loads and play with him, Greg, but I was with Adam, who you mentioned. His swing did look fantastic. But like Cabrera Bello was right next to him hitting and his swing looked fantastic. And then Poulter turned up and his swing looked flailing, but the results were fantastic. So I get the enjoyment from all of that variation.
Right. You can appreciate the variety and the different ways people get it done.
What a result. Yeah. That looks great. I mean, I think this sounds really silly, but the thing that stands out with Adam, and I think this is where this really translates in golf, and I think it's deceptive. Adam Scott is a fantastically good-looking guy. I don't know what it is with the Australians, Greg. You're all fantastically good-looking. He's well-built, he's a good size, and he's a very good-looking guy. So it then translates through his swing. I always used to say to people, I was quite good at being able to read people's pace of golf swing. Let's call it tempo, and I hate that word, but we're going to call it tempo. By the way, they even walked into my studio.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The guys who were 2 minutes late, knocking things over, running in, they would grip it tight and they would swing like through the roof, throughout their boots, smashing everything. Guy who's half an hour early or woman who's half an hour early, breezing, really relaxed, not nervous at the start, puts their key and wallet down in a place, you know, they're not going to forget it. Like the guy or girl who comes busting in and they're late and they like just chuck their, and I just think, well, that you're going to forget that's there. And they leave, and I've forgotten it's there because it's not mine. And then 10 minutes later, they're knocking on the door going, is my wallet in here? And I just think, basically, everything you do in life is kind of reflecting through in your golf. Like, I'm seeing it in your action.
Because a
great example of that, I think, was Ernie. Ernie House is a great example. You meet Ernie, he's huge. He is so slow and kind of, you know, loose and cool with the way he moves and relaxed. And, you know, we all know what Ernie Els golf swing appears like. And people say, how does he hit it that fast, swinging it that slow? Ernie doesn't swing slow. He don't create club head. You don't create ball speed with slow club head speed. He's swinging really fast. It's just he oozes this like essence of relaxedness. And I think as humans, we read even before the swing's begun, we're reading in the pre-shot, we're reading in them arriving, we're reading, like, all our preconceptions are there. So I like looking at that more than just seeing a pretty swing and thinking, oh, I really want to look at that swing.
I got a laundry list of beautiful
swings.
Yeah,
I was going to say, who's your pretty swing and why is it Tiger?
Yeah, exactly.
He's just going to say Tiger Woods 10 times, isn't he?
Tiger Woods.
So some of my favorite
swings of all time.
Great shot.
Elk is up there for sure.
Yes.
Elkington had a phenomenal, beautiful swing. Ernie, definitely. Freddie. I just could watch Freddie swing all day. Absolutely loved his swing. Adam Scott, obviously. Payne Stewart. I loved watching Payne Stewart's swing. I just loved the way he moved. And recently, they just had the PNC and Annika was on. So first time I've seen Annika play in a bit, and I was reminded how much I like her swing and like watching her play. Very. Yeah, keep lifting your head up like that, and you'll never win anything, right?
It's a very stood up follow through, isn't it, Annika?
Yeah, and then, but I always loved watching it, and then Tiger obviously is probably the prettiest swing of all time.
Can we get through a pod without Lou mentioning ropes or Tiger? Like, we need to start having like a charity pot, don't we? Like a swear jar. Lou's swear jar is ropes and Tiger.
Ropes and Tiger.
Every time he says it, he has to donate $100 to a charity of our choice.
What if Tiger asked me to build him one of my rope based training?
That would be a dream, wouldn't it?
He probably listens every week.
He probably does. I think he does. Hey, hi, Tiger. It's me.
You know what he's probably doing?
Number one fan.
Yeah, he's probably sitting in his office and like, who's the guy that keeps buying all my Tiger sheets and blankets? Yeah. Why's he got 100 of them?
He bought me a new plane.
Yeah. I mean, in swing-wise, Freddie, I never saw Freddie hit shots live. I think I saw him at the Open, but from a distance, and I couldn't
get close. I saved his life. In 1994, 93 or 94 Canadian Open at Glen Abbey.
Right.
It had started to rain. It was a practice round. It had started to rain and it was drizzling, and I forget what hole it was, but it was a steep climb in wet grass to get up to the tee box. And I was right on the rope line, kind of three quarters of the way up the hill. And Freddie was walking right near the rope line, and he started to slip. And when you slip, you just reach. And I reached, and I kind of grabbed onto him, and I held him up. And
he didn't slip at all. Like, did you get asked to leave after that, Lou?
I didn't get asked to leave. but Freddie, I prevented Freddie from falling.
Was it like a scene from the Titanic?
Well, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, we were on the front of the ship, and I was holding him, and he had his arms outstretched. It's exactly what it was.
We need to try and get Freddie on, because I reckon he tells that story as well. I was walking along. I was walking along in Canada somewhere.
Yeah, he doesn't remember
and
it.
There was this slip. I slipped, and my life came right flash before me, and this hand came out. And it was holding a calculator in his hand.
Yeah.
And I could feel it was firm, and it was a calculator in his hand, and he pulled me up to safety.
Yes, I saved Freddie's life.
And then the guy said, "You're not Tiger," and let me go, and I fell over again or something like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
I like that. That feels like a little bit of Hollywood in that. Story, Lou, with the save lifeness of it, but basically you stopped him getting dirty trousers is kind
of. I honestly don't think it's an exaggeration. I think that's pretty much what happened and how it happened.
Yeah,
he'd be nothing.
That's how I remember it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how you tell it every Christmas for the last.
You know what?
Years.
You know what? The worst part about this is, I'm pretty sure it probably had something to do with me, something I didn't realize, but I didn't get a glove or anything. You think you would have autographed a glove or a ball or something?
He was too shook up.
I just saved your life, dude.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
How about a glove?
Yeah.
How about a little love?
Yeah.
Nothing. So. No.
All he said was, "Can you take your hands off me?"
You can let go now. Yeah. Yeah.
His first word was,
"Let go."
His first word was, "Security."
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Awesome.
But there you go. For me, the big thing for anyone looking at changing their swing, and I've written it in big words here because I wanted to end on this, is why. Whenever you are changing your golf swing, if it's doing it with your mate, doing it on yourself, doing it with a pro, and I'd advise to do it, obviously, with some professional help, the big question you should be asking always is why. If you're not asking that question, then you want to be asking, really, what are you doing? It was always a question I asked my coach. And students say it to me now. I'll say, I want you to try this. And when they say why, I'll tell them, you know, because I think it might go a little bit higher. And then they'll say things like, oh, so that'll work, will it? That'll make me better. And I say, well, I don't know. Until you do it, we don't know. That's why we've got to try. We can find out the whys together. With the measuring devices that are out there now, you really can. You don't have to be working on pretty swing movements anymore. We don't all need to look like you, Lou, do we, in the swing world? We can have our own quirky functional movements, can't we?
You can. You can. I like that. It's a good approach.
All I'm taking away from this pod is I'm officially as good looking as Adam Scott. It's just
exactly. Exactly.
I love it. Thank you, Mark.
There you go. I had to put that in there. And that Lou, I'm so glad that we can still enjoy Freddie Couples golf. Is he still play seniors tour? I think he does because of Lou's dad.
That's the only reason why.
It's the only reason he's still there. So we got to get him on, haven't we? Because he ain't going to remember that at all.
No, he's not going to remember that at all. Angry that we even brought it up. Yeah.
Even though it was a life-saving moment. Yeah. I like that. There we go. Thanks for listening, everybody. Pretty swings, functional swings. I think lots of you realise now that functional swings are going to be the way forward. Just try not to fall into that rabbit hole. And again, reiterate, if you are making a change, the question you need to be asking yourself is, why am I doing this? What will it achieve? Thanks for listening. And we'll catch you in the next podcast.
Bye, Tiger. Call me.